correct.
Okay. And that's for the school. I mean, something that popped up, Metro Agency, that they were called to, answer for some concerns that were raised there in our work environment. And I'm sorry about that. As we start, let me just do a few very brief opening remarks. I know that the time is against us. That as we do our oversight and monitor and assess the second quarter reports from the department and entities, we talk of Chapter 4 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa that gives a mandate for portfolio committees to legislate, conduct oversight over the executives, and also facilitate public participation. One of the tools used to track progress on the implementation of policy and government programs is the use of various reports by departments and its entities. Quarterly reporting is just one of those mechanisms to track progress and effectiveness of governance, bodies for policy implementation and government agenda. There are a number of key areas which the committee look at when scrutinizing the presented report, and these are just a few among them. The technical quality of all the reports produced by departments and SOEs, the economic efficiency and effectiveness of service delivery as measured by performance indicators presented in the annual report, evaluating management's explanation as to why the department and entity service delivery performance did not attain the targets set in the corporate plans. I think we'll come across that as we go through the presentation. And also ensuring equity in service delivery. Investigating the circumstances that led to financial performance and the impact it had on service delivery and the measures taken by management to rectify the situation. I think as we engage, we'll take into consideration our previous engagement to what we have committed ourselves as the department entities and what is it that we've achieved and not achieved. And as it's a tradition, before we start, in the absence of the minister, I'll give the deputy minister to do some opening remarks and also maybe DG to say a few words. Then we continue with our presentation. Then we come to discussion. And I think in our document here, we are aware of the sequence of the presentation, who comes first and who follows thereafter. Thank you very much. Deputy Minister, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. We are here with the department. The DG will introduce the relevant officials. Oh, sorry. I thought it was stupid, Mr. Mark. Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. We are here with the department, which is led by the DG. Honorable members, maybe if I could just take a second to really reflect on what we'll be presenting here. Now, it's a little bit of mathematics and statistics. But I can just say, colleagues, that both the department, they are really talking to progress made on common ground, ICT infrastructure, basically. There have been strides made in terms of clarity now, like issues of open access, as you can see in our ICT policy, integrated policy, thinking on spectrum, there are positions there, rapid deployment, and also e-strategy. So in brief, Chairperson, I can say, with regard to connectivity, the first line of the mandate, there is progress that we are making, but the officials will talk to difficulties they have. And there's even clarity with the next level where we have to ensure that through our e-skills project, the community and the consumers and the beneficiaries at large are equipped to be able to access e-services. And we also have a bias towards the rural communities For instance, our e-schools project is in line with what the president had said during SONA 2014, whereby he identified the most vulnerable regions in our provinces, the poorest of the poor. So we still, as we develop our work, we adhere to that as well. When it comes to the SOE, we continue to monitor very closely their work under the leadership of DPG oversight. And basically, they are all focusing on connectivity, but also assisting us with issues of growth to ensure that these SOEs are sustainable in the long run, but also some transformation issues like skills, SMEs are critical in their work. They might not be clearly articulated within the limited framework of the target, but with all our interactions, we talk to growth, we talk to transformation issues, the gender aspect, as you all know them. And I must say, the post office seems to be coming around. You heard the minister publicly announcing at long last the arrival of the post bank, which some people will say we've waited for too long, but it's a big, big story for us in the sense that we've been able to confidently engage our colleagues in terms of ensuring that they get more and more work first from government at all levels. I hope in reality that is the truth. It's in line with their targets, and we are progressing very well. Of course, the media will talk about one thing, that is SASSA grants. And for us, that is big. We continue to engage our colleagues there. Hopefully, they will work well together and find some solutions as to when it becomes a technical issue. We don't know. I just thought, Chairperson, that it's important to emphasize that the numbers and science and maths sometimes are difficult. But I would like to assure you that there's progress that we are making. As you will see, even our impact at an international level is an outcome of this work that we are all focusing on a daily basis. The last point I want to say also, which is not really clear yet, we're working hard on partnerships. I think just last week there was a big final meeting with all the stakeholders. There was one at Randburg. Again, it's talking to partnerships that in whatever we do, nobody should be left behind. And the minister is not here. As you got the apology, I'm sure you came a little bit
rushed.
Yeah, but he has been personally focusing on that as well, to ensure that we continue to engage the private sector so that we are all working within the same policy pillars. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Being the newest person, I take it that all the other colleagues are known. So I'll only introduce the CFO, who's also going to assist me with the presentation, Joy Masimura. Chairperson, without much ado, let me go straight to slide 3, which deals with the significant achievements of the department. Now, let me preface this slide as follows, that as for quarter 2, 67% of the targets were achieved. And of those targets that were not achieved, 28% were partially achieved. Now, we deliberately indicate partial here for the purposes of honorable members having a sense in terms of the progress of the department. And 5% of the targets obviously were not met as at the end of the second call. Now, Chairperson, as we all know, Cabinet adopted the final white paper in September last year. As soon as that was done, we worked on our own and developed an implementation plan. Now, this implementation plan is subject to the consultation that is being referred to with industry, and we're also engaging with the council. We will still come back to the committee to present the implementation plan of the white paper. Now, out of that, there are 8 bills that will be in Parliament arising from that implementation plan. Now, work also has started in drafting some of these bills, and again, we're doing this work on our own to draft all 8 bills. What we'll do, when you see us issuing an address out, inviting people to assist us, that would be for the purposes of technical drafting. But the bulk of the work in terms of the 8 bills is being done within the department. Now, on the third bullet there, which refers to 3-year e-services program, let me indicate that this has since evolved into a draft e-government framework, which we'll be submitting to the cluster before we go out to consult with the stakeholders. So that was one of the achievements at the end of the quarter. Again, on the e-strategy, Chairperson, let me say in brief that significant strides have been made since what we're reporting here, and it is also going to the cluster for consideration before we go out for public consultation. So that is done as far as we're concerned. The same with the SMME strategy on page 4. We have finalized the draft, the SMME strategy, and I must say that this is very key to the work that of the department to ensure that there is transformation in the sector. And again, this is ready for submission at the cluster before we issue it for public consultation. In terms of the rationalization of state entities, as indicated here, we released the CETA report, we finalized the CETA report, but a lot of work has since been done, and before the end of this financial year, we'll be having a comprehensive plan of rationalizing the state entities. Now, what's likely to happen there? We're likely to emerge with a consolidated state-owned infrastructure company. And on the other side, they have the state-owned ICT company. Because we have a number of companies that are competing with each other. On the third bullet, South Africa participated at the Papua Planning Potential Conference, where regional positions were taken. And we emphasize regional in the sense that the positions taken at the PAPU level are the positions that evolve into the Universal Postal Union, where we engage with other countries outside the continent. South Africa's position on international standardization program was also developed. And in terms of the last bullet there, climate survey, we have since made significant strides since the second quarter, and we will conclude this project, Chairperson, before the end of the financial year. Now, Chairperson, may I ask that I've given the highlights of the key achievements, and I'll go to the areas where we did not achieve or partially achieve, so that we can conclude this within the allocated time frame, if that is okay. Now, Chairperson, let me move to the issue of the structure. We have undertaken to finalize the structure by the end of the second quarter. And let me indicate that this is partially achieved. And we say partially advisedly, in the sense that there was a process that needed to be undertaken before we could finalize the structure. And that entails finalizing the service delivery model so that the structure is an outcome of a service delivery model. We've since refocused our attention to the service delivery model. And may I indicate that we will achieve that. So we'll not achieve the target with respect to the structure per se, but we'll have the service delivery model, and the top level structure will be finalized before the end of the current financial year. Now, to climate survey, I must indicate that as of now, we have engaged with staff, and the action plan is being developed, and it will be submitted to the political principals for approval in the next week or so. So work has been done in terms of the project. On the business process mapping, this, we say partially in the sense that we've done significant work in this regard. However, we had to engage with CISA, and upon engaging with CISA, it turns out that the money that we budgeted was less than what the actual process cost. So that was the only reason for the delay in this regard. We have since reallocated funds for this, and it will be concluded before the end of the financial year. The same with the enterprise document management system. We have engaged with CISA, we have appointed the service providers, and as indicated here, again, we had the problem of budgeting, whereby what came out of the CISA process was higher than what was initially budgeted for. But we've since reallocated funds, and this will also be met the chairperson. Now I move on to the next program, that is international affairs. I will skip all the achieved because I dealt with them earlier in chairperson, and move to page 11 or slide 11, which deals with the program of action for BRICS. We have been hard at work to ensure that when it comes to BRICS, we don't only attend meetings, but it is there are some programs, there are some projects that we do with a fellow BRICS countries. And as indicated here, the delay was merely because we could not find a common date with the two partner countries, that is Russia and Brazil. And that has since been achieved now. And we now have a sense of the projects that we do with the different BRICS countries. Okay, and then let's move on to policy, which is on footing. Page 14 or slide 14. I will again, Chairperson, skip the achieved because I dealt with them in my opening statement. Now, it means that when it comes to this project, everything was achieved. So I'll move on to program 4, which is ICT Enterprise Development and SOCs Oversight. Again, Chairperson, let me report that in this regard, we achieved all the other two targets, and a lot of work is being done going forward in this program. Now, on infrastructure support, which is on page 19, Chairperson, let me indicate that this project is the flagship of the department, and I need to admit this, but unfortunately, we did not achieve the targets for this project. And the reason for that is that we asked CISA to get a service provider, it's no systematic project, and CISA came back to us saying that they were unable to find a service provider. Now, in his debate during at the solar debate, I mean, the minister indicated that we are moving ahead with this project, and what we're going to do, we're going to use an array of state enterprises to deliver this project, and in this, Chairperson, if I may indicate, that is still subject to the law. But a lot of work has been done in this regard, and I think at some point we'll have to come and brief in Parliament on the broadband project, because this goes straight into the heart of your own constituency. And then I move to page 21, which deals with the National Radio Frequency Plan. As honorable members will know, we are responsible for the National Radio Frequency Plan. And what normally happens is that ICASA runs through the process of consultation, and once they are done, they will come back to the minister for the approval of the National Radio Frequency Plan. Let me indicate that that process is at an advanced stage, and we envisage that we conclude this process before the end of the financial year, because ICASA is already consulted with stakeholders. So all what remains in this project, Chairperson, is for ICASA to come with the recommendation to the minister. And on the basis of the recommendation from ICASA, the minister will engage with the other government departments. That normally does not take a lot of time, so we still commit to conclude this project. Chairperson, allow me to pass on to the CFO to take us through the financing.
Okay, thank you, Chair. The financial position is the 30th of September 2016, which is the second quarter. When you move to slide 23, the department has been allocated 2.4 billion, and per program, administration is allocated 8% of that, which is 193 million, and international affairs 2%, which amounts to 45 million, and policy, 4% of the budget, which is 95 million. And again, SOC has been allocated 37% of that, which is 891 million. And then infrastructure support, 49% of the budget, which is 1.2 billion. Now, when we look at the economic classification, compensation of employees that was allocated is 213 million, and which is 9% of the budget. Goods and services allocated is 494 million, which amounts to 20% of the budget. I must say that part of that is the money ring fence for the SA Connect project, which amounts to 336 million. And then payment for financial assets is 27%, is the 650 million that was allocated for SAPO, that was transferred to SAPO at the beginning of the financial year. And then transfers and subsidies amounts to 1 billion, which equals 44%. Then the rest is payment for capital assets. Now when you look at slide 25, in terms of the expenditure, Program 1 has spent about 57% of the budget at the time, and international affairs 79%, because by the end of second quarter, that's when all the international membership fees are paid. And in policy, 43% of the budget has been spent, which amounts to 54 million. And then SOC, 86% of the budget has been spent, also including the 650 million that was transferred to SAPO. And then infrastructure support, only 36% was spent by the end of second quarter due to the non-movement of the SA Connect project. So in total, the spending for the department amounts to 57%. When we move to the next one, Chair, that's exactly the same as I've just presented. I will skip that one. We move on to slide 27. When we look at pay economic classification in terms of the spending, compensation of employees is sitting at 47%, of which we are slightly below due to certain vacancies that were not filled. And then goods and services amounts to 17%. It's low because of the SA Connect project that's not moving. And then in terms of the transfers, we are on par there on 51%. And then payment for capital assets is 135%. We overspent there with 1.7 million due to the Microsoft licenses that needed to be paid, which amounted to 1.7 million. And then payment for financial assets amounted to 100%. Therefore, in total, again, the total spending amounts to 57%. And then the next line is exactly the same as I've presented now. Then when you look at the transfers to entities and the international organizations, the international membership fees, as I've alluded, was paid by the end of September. And the overspending there of 2.7 million is due to the exchange rate variance when those memberships were paid. And then to NEMISA, 49% of the budget was transferred. And then USASA, 50% of the budget was paid, which is really on par. And then to USEF, 49% was transferred. And then to SAPO, 50% was also transferred. That's on the broadcasting digital migration. And then to USEF again on the broadcasting digital migration, 50% of the allocation was transferred there. And then in total, 51% of the transfers was transferred, which we are on par for the second quarter. Chair, the next one is also a graphic presentation, and I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we then come to Mustapo?
Good morning. Thank you, Chair, Deputy Minister, DG, honourable members. I thought in the 15 minutes I've got, I'm not going to dwell on the detail of the numbers, although we can go through them. I just wanted to put SAPA in perspective as we find ourselves today. I think there's a mixture of challenges and opportunities, big challenges, but even bigger opportunities. On the challenges side, I think we still have some way to go to achieve the operational efficiency measures that are our standard in the industry. But on a case-by-case basis, we are dealing with those areas of our business which are not efficient. And we now do have fully supplied branches for most things except stamps. And so operational efficiency will be the backbone not only for mail going forward, but it will provide the backbone for other more expansive strategies that you all know we have in sight. Our other challenge is to recapture market share in a declining mail market. We lost market share 3 years ago, and we find ourselves against contracted alternative suppliers. And so it's a market share discussion there, but it is a declining business generally. Government business is both a challenge and an opportunity. I'll talk to that a bit later. We've seen a very encouraging turnaround in government's approach to the post office, actually getting quite a bit of work building up from them, so we're grateful for that. The other challenge is still costs, obviously. Our costs are out of line with a functional economic entity in a competitive environment, and our capital structure is inappropriate for a turnaround organisation. But those things are things we'll work through. The opportunities far outweigh the challenges, in my view. We find ourselves literally on the verge of projects which have to be defined as exciting, never before. Postbank licence application is on track and online. And we expect that we will have a fully fledged banking license by the end of June, by the 3rd of July this year, which is only months away now. As far as government's business is concerned, we are getting given opportunities in courier, and I can talk to it in as much detail as you'd like to, but our hands are firmly up to become involved in the SASA grant solution as an intergovernmental solution for our people, and we are ready to play a role there. E-commerce is probably the most exciting new development. We've tidied up our Tambo, the Joburg International Mail Centre, and we are engaged with the UPU, and in the course of this next month, we'll be engaging both with India and China on co-investment models for launching e-commerce as the hub for e-commerce in Africa, together with the ports. This next calendar year, I also anticipate, will be the beginning of public and private partner co-investment partnerships. But to talk to the results, if we go to the next slide, I'll just go through the overview. We were then and we still are now about 25% or 30% behind our forecast revenue figures. And that's how far we are below target, but we're essentially standing still in compared to last year. So at this time, 6 months ago, we were about 3 or 4% behind last year's figures. We're now more like 1% behind last year's figures. So we're pretty much trading at the same levels we were last year, which is disappointing, but has a number of reasons which are you all tired of hearing, one of which is that we really only started our year after the second quarter, when we got the money to pay creditors and the like. So our trading year, we saw for the first time in November an uptick in the revenue numbers, but we will be definitely behind our targets. About 30% we expect to be behind for the year compared to the corporate plan, but we will be more or less in line with last year in what I think is a difficult trading environment generally. I highlight some positives there. You would have known that by September we had a Section 12 or Section 13 approval. We raised the capital, we settled our creditors, both historical and current, and we entered into agreements with labour, and we have a stable workforce now. We've converted all our casual labour into permanent labour. We had in the end At this stage we had 680, in the end we had about 780 voluntary service package take up. We'd hoped for more, but that's a mixed blessing. And since this period, we really have engaged with a lot of corporate clients. And to be honest, Chair, we're finding clients want us to work and they want us back. And some of them are really encouragingly moving with us to change their service providers and give us another chance. On to talk about staff, we're now down to about 19,000, in fact 18,987 when I last looked. That should be seen in the context of the last 4 years since 2014, where we had 24,000 people employed. So there's been about a 20% reduction in the employment at SAPA. Our costs are still too high. We're still at around 70% of total costs, and we should be at 40%, but there's a revenue growth strategy rather than a staff cost containment strategy on its own. We've made strides in some of the training and education programs. There is a much higher focus on consequence management. We've seen a number of employees dismissed, both the 68 that you mentioned here, and subsequently to that, the members who were on illegal strike were also dismissed. I think what we've done in terms of consequence management and in terms of adherence to appropriate oversight and management structures is we've made the tests simpler and we've made compliance easier and more clear by having tests like, are we doing deals at the right market price, which eliminate by and large things that aren't happening at the right price. The culture, I'm happy to say that the culture in our executive committee and even the culture on the ground has begun to change to reward honesty and energy and to look down on avoidance and excuses. The DTT project has been good for us, although it's been slow. It served us well, both in terms of being able to do storage and participate in the rollout. So I think there's another example of intergovernmental working together, which I'd like to see happen more and more. We did lose the courier contract with government, but we met with the Central Procurement Office as early as 2 weeks ago. And I have to say that there seems to be a change of attitude completely within government towards the post office. And we are incrementally being given opportunities now, which we certainly, as of the reporting period for September, hadn't been given. So revenue growth remains a big deal for us. Chair, I'm not going to go through the individual numbers of the next slides. Let me summarize it by saying that we still have costs exceeding revenue by around 100 million rand a month. And we really see that as primarily a deferral of being able to persuade our major corporate clients to change track and come back to us. That, on balance, has been rescued, if you will, by deferred expenditure, which is not always a good thing. So on balance, we look as though we could be heading towards a result not that different from what we forecast in the corporate plan, but it's entirely a coincidence. We'll publish a loss of somewhere between 1.1 and 1.3 billion in my estimation, depending on the timing of some corporate deals that have signed but not really transferred into revenue yet. But a lot of that is due to deferred spend. So if we go through the numbers, I think the big picture answers are there for you, and we needn't labour them any further. If I look at the KPI, the performance against KPIs, it's still very disappointing on page 13 of the slides. Unfortunately, we either achieve something or we don't achieve. So whether we're close to achieving something or not, we still get a zero for it. So, you know, if you talk about the increase in diversity of revenues, revenues are declining and, you know, our post-pop revenue hasn't increased, but it is starting to increase. But you either get one or zero. So You know, we got a score of 25%, which is hard to say with your head held up high. But you know, I believe that the groundswell of attitude and efficiency within the post office is not properly mirrored by these numbers. So you know, yes, we've given ourselves a zero for high performance organisation. We've given ourselves a zero for increased and diversified revenues. But I need to highlight and stress that we are talking about a third of our potential business here. We're talking about mail. And we're judging ourselves only on mail here. And that's going to be less than a third of our business in the next 2 or 3 years. Nevertheless, we stand accused of these things, and we are humbled by the fact that we haven't achieved them. I've never submitted a report card with 25% on it. We hope to improve. So for us, the next steps are to continue to focus on the operational performance and return some customer confidence. I'm on slide 14. To capitalize on the improved relationship with government, we have now put CFG to bed. Our failed courier business has been finally wrapped up and put to bed, and so some of those ghosts of the past can be buried properly. And people start coming back to using speed services and stop making jokes about the name. So we are back there. The bank is a key issue for the post office and the country. As far as I'm concerned, the bank will be the center of funding the unbanked, of crossing the financial inclusion debate. And its role not only as a provider of funding, but as a participant in all government flows, such as, for example, the SASA grants, are what are going to define the extent of our success going forward. We have we've sorted out the appointment of the CFO, Nikki Gio, who's sitting here with us, was approved in December. The COO final shortlist is being presented next week in February. The company secretary was put on hold a little bit in the sense that we had a long debate about whether we should outsource that, but we've decided to continue to insource it, so that should take us another couple of months. I've approved all of the vacancies in finance. I've approved all of the vacancies in the revised commercial structure, which is essentially our sales initiative. We have signed off on the 6th of February, I think, we signed off or presented to the board our final corporate structure, which is a completely revised corporate structure organogram, including some support for the CEO's office so that we can move around and address problems as and when they arrive, arise on a sort of a SWAT team basis. So to summarize, if I may, in my short 15 minutes, these are the things that you should think about when you think about your post office. Postbank is profitable, it's well capitalized, and the corporatization process to being a fully fledged bank is on track. Our ICASA relationship has been regularized, we met with them, we agreed to pay them their dues, and they agreed to start protecting us again. And so we've submitted to them all of a number of things which we believe are necessary to protect our reserved areas. There are early signs of customer confidence, and there's a will for them to help us. We've sorted out the creditors, we have a stable labor force, and operationally we're tidying up. Our key areas for the calendar year going, for the 2017 calendar year, are our participation and our willing to serve in the solution of the payment of social grants in conjunction with all other intergovernmental organizations. The achievement of the Postbank license, our branch network tidy up and operational efficiency, the relaunching from scratch almost of a competitive courier business, which will require employing new leaders in that area, co-investment with other parties to become the e-commerce hub of choice for Africa, and to become government's delivery partner of choice. The numbers as of September don't tell a pretty story, but they are a photograph of an organization that is tidying itself up to provide a foundation so that the infrastructure, which is ours uniquely and to which we hold very dear, is actually functional. That will form the foundation for bigger ambitions that we have in financial services, e-commerce and parcels. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, there's a request here. I've just received a note from the SOAP BBI that she be allowed to present and just received a call from home that may have happened so she can leave. But I'm not sure in terms of engaging with the presentation that we send written questions or we engage immediately after the presentation so that she can be excused. Okay. Thank you very much.
Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, I am here with the Chair of the Board, the Chair of the Audit and Risk Committee, and the CFO of the organisation. So I'm not sure whether the questions would happen immediately, but even if they happen after the two board members and the CFO would be able to handle it. Thank you very much. With the limited time we have, we are just going to skip. The second slide just indicates how we integrate what the company does and what the policies of the country say about the sector that we are in. If we go straight to the performance of the organization, I think we are on a firm footing. The key line that we are driving right now is revenue, but from a governance point of view, from the infrastructure that we run, the customers that we have within the organization, we are very confident that we are on stable ground. Our relations with our employees and the service levels that we provide to our customers speak for themselves. From a revenue point of view, which is the red on slide number 3, and that also impact on the operating losses, we weren't able to achieve what we had set for ourselves. But to counter that, we also aggressively managed our cost of sales, drastic decreases there, which means that we will, at the end of this year, still have a positive EBITDA, which would be for the second year in a row. In order for us to address our revenue, we've optimized our sales environment and put interventions in there to deal with consequences of non-performance, but also empowering our account managers to be able to achieve what is required. Okay. In terms of the STM equivalence, which is basically measuring the utilization of our network, whilst we didn't achieve for the second quarter, we were able to achieve our year-to-date target. So the network is being utilized. I mean, the Golden Triangle, which is the triangle between Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Durban, there we have very high capacities moving and it's fully utilized. Northern Ring as well, and connectivity to our regional neighbors. We're confident that our network is doing what it's supposed to be doing. In terms of our training spend, whilst we are still doing a minimum, we're using that as retention for us, because if we have to train our technicians, we spend quite a lot of money training them for to upgrade their skills. We use that for retention within the organization. So apart from it being just a compliance issue, it's actually a critical issue for us to be able to retain employees within the organization. From an economic transformation point of view, I think this is the fifth year in a row that we measure ourselves in terms of what is it that we are doing to improve on empowering or economic transformation. And this year we've taken it a step further in terms of occupational health and safety, because we realize that within our sector there is a requirement for SMMEs to be equipped with specific skills in order for them to be able to do business with us. For example, if you have to be trenching, you have to be compliant with the compensation, all those books must be in order. You can't just take people in case there's injury, there are consequences. So we've decided that we will use our internal skills to actually train SMMEs that have done business with us, or those that have even failed to do business with us because they don't necessarily have this specific requirement. We measure our suppliers in terms of how they are impacting in terms of job opportunities. Yes, we didn't achieve that for Q2, but we confident that in terms of what we had set for ourselves, given the limited spend that we have for the year, that we will be able to achieve that. In terms of the black youth-owned entities and entities with people with disability, we haven't been able to achieve that. That is impacted by the limited procurement budget that we have, but most importantly of the specialist nature of the industry that we are in. We're pretty confident that we will have this picture. We will continue to have a positive EBITDA. Yes, we have down forecasted our revenues, but we're confident that our cost of sales will still be where it's at. So all that's left for us is to continue drive sales and ensure that not only are we EBITDA positive, but we are also a profitable institution. Having taken over the network 4 years ago, where we had a lot of obsolete equipment, we run now one of the best networks in the country in terms of what we have in place. From a capital infrastructure point of view and what we intended to achieve, if we focus at the bottom line that we had said that we will do 1,100 kilometers of fiber and optimize 41 points of presence by the end of September, we had done 1,100 and 13 and 34, and we still are confident that we will be able to achieve this. Obviously, some of these things are impacted by way leaves. If we are not able to get way leaves and are required then to redesign our plans, then we do so. But members had asked if we are confident that we will achieve. We're very confident that this is done. I mean, most of this is done in the third quarter. I'll hand over to Ian Faniget, the CFO.
Thank you, Sheehy. If you look at the financial position at the end of September, you'll see that our assets base has improved by around 36 million rand for the quarter ended. And although we're still tracking below budget on the total asset spend, mainly because there was an increase in the depreciation, you will also note that we remain cash positive throughout the first 6 months of the financial trading year, mainly because we had a very good debtors collection. Our debtors days was averaging at around 24 days. You will also see that we remained on a net asset position. We remained at about 110% if you count back the deferred income that is not really available in that regard. Notably that when we did the original budget a year ago or so, we actually forecasted that we will go out into the market and raise funds, which we have not done so. So that's why you'll see the funds raised is zero, yet when we budgeted there was a funds that we thought we would be able to raise in the market of around about 170 million rand. If we look at the financial performance, I'm not going to dwell on the revenue. I think the CEO has touched on that, and like the CEO of the post office said, there's lots of reasons for that we can dwell into on the revenue targets and why we've downgraded that. But we have a revised strategy around revenue, and we're working very hard in achieving that and improving that. And based on that, we've been driving our costs down quite hard, and that you will see in the cost of sales savings, net of depreciation, and also on the operating cost side. And because of that, we have remained EBITDA positive throughout the quarter, and we're also expecting it to remain like that for the remainder of the year. The cash flow just talks to what we have just said, and then also the investment that we have made at around 36 million rand, and we remain cash positive at the end of the financial end of the quarter. From a funding perspective, obviously, you know, being an infrastructure business, we, you know, we need to go out and raise some funds. And we have been engaging with a number of people in the market to see whether or not we are able to raise funds on the strength of our own balance sheet. And we have been engaging with DFIs, commercial banks, private funders, and the like. And we are positive that as the need arises, where we have to fund specific projects, that will be revenue based, we'll be able to ring fence those and actually go into the market and raise those funds.
Okay. The stability of the organization is as stable as the people that are in the organization, and I think that our HRD department has done a steadying job in ensuring that there's sound relationship between organized labor and the organization, and that there is a partnership in ensuring that we get the organization to where it's at. So from a sales point of view, we were able to fill the vacant positions. And then in terms of engineers, we are able to bring in engineers from within the organization. We have appointed 15 interns, and of those interns, I think about only 4 of them are female. The rest of them are male within the technical environment. We take pride in this because every single person we have put through our internship program, even if we were not able to absorb them, have been absorbed by the private sector, which means we do a good job in ensuring that we empower young people to be able to get into this competitive sector. So even though our attrition is concerning in terms of the number of, especially the technical employee that have left the organization, we are confident that we are, between our training and our interns and us creating capacity from within and building it up within the organization, we are able to create upward mobility within the organization and ensure that we keep the employees within the organization. I think our HR environment is stable, is compliant, it's performance driven, it's understood by all of the employees what's expected of them. And I can only say it's that partnership between employees, management, and organized labor. Okay, I have already spoken about the economic transformation. In terms of the 8 audit, external audit points that we have, which is on slide number 12, we had 8. We had a going concern. We have one for revenue, which we are confident we will be able to resolve at least towards the end of this financial year. The compliance issues were done at the time when the management letter was signed off, and a compliance issue is something that I'm confident that both shareholders, the IDC and the department, will be able to resolve before the end of the financial year. And in terms of our internal controls and us measuring our irregular expenditure, we haven't acquired any irregular expenditure within this period. I will not dwell into the risks. The risks for us are, from a strategic point of view, being in the ICT sector, they will also complement what is happening in other environments. But what is key for us is that for us to have sight and ensure that we put mitigations in place. Yes, we have said that it is difficult to raise funds. It is difficult to raise funds when you don't have a history of debt. So you've got to be able to prove yourself. I think we've proved ourselves in terms of the projects that we have delivered for 2 of our customers. And with that, we are now able to then source funds for assets at least and have those assets as collateral. I think that is a good start for us to start from, to say that if we can fund the equipment that we require in order for us to run the organization, that gives us a start to say, yes, you are credit worthy, yes, you can be able to pay your debt and move from there. Thank you.
Are we done?
Yes.
Oh, thank you very much. I think we'll follow the same sequence of questions when the time comes with the remaining officials from BBI. And we now go back to CETA.
Thank you. Chairperson and members. I'm here with the Chairperson of the Board, Chairperson of the Audit and Risk Committee, our CFO, and our parliamentary liaison. To present the first and second quarter performance. And what we'll try to do is also, because the performance levels are fairly low to us this year, since of where we, what we've since done about this performance levels. But also, it's quite, we thought it was quite important also to highlight in certain areas what the strategic issues are that we're trying to solve in the context of our basic mandate. The, before I go far, the, probably the important page there is on page 5, which is notwithstanding our performance at the end of the second quarter, is our current projection of where we will end up where we'll end up at the end of the financial year. So moving from 50% in the at the end of the second quarter to somewhere between 76% and 84%. And that's really been the result of having looked at the second quarter performance and put in and implemented remedial actions. If I may go into the performance metrics themselves, from page 10, start with e-government. At the time of, at the end of September, we were tracking below target. We had not even yet done our e-government strategy. That has since been done through the board has since approved a new CDA e-government strategy that was ex-co on the 25th and then the board in October, second, that was in the third quarter. We've since engaged a number of departments on the back of the strategy. The strategy looks at a number of functions within government. It looks at the interface between government departments and citizens from an enablement point of view. It looks at the data within government to create better business intelligence for government departments. So one of the departments that has since made a request, or that has since convinced them to write the e-government bus, is the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, where we are going to put a full dashboard making use of data that sits in the different departmental databases, linking that data so that one can trace, for example, NDP targets, one can trace NPSF targets, and one can trace in an integrated manner, that is, and one can also trace APP targets for the purposes of a department such as that. We are now on track to deliver our annual target of 20 e-services. We've had to restructure the entire team, so this effort is now led by a new management team. And we may not dwell on the areas where we have achieved unless they have gone great. Threat management, suppose that was an area of interest for this committee, security-wise. So we have completed, by this time we've completed our threat and vulnerability management solution, and we're only left, and there was a target for the quarter, for the half year. And the next thing was to do what you call endpoint protection, where we have now done about 1,400 of the endpoints versus the 1,900 that are supposed to be done by the end of the financial year. So that is very, very safe. Then the next one, NKP compliance, that is done now, the clearance of staff members, that is done as we speak. The one that was causing us a little bit of problems there that is still a little bit wobbly is the customer satisfaction survey. Yes, by this time they had not, we should have approved our customer improvement plan based on the survey that was last done in 2012. That plan was subsequently approved and elements of it implemented. But we have since fortified this thing with another target that was for the third quarter, which was the diagnostic survey that we did across the board, and giving us an indication of what customers feel about the services that they get from CETA. Must say this thing is influenced by a number of factors, the kind of questions that you ask, the departments that you ask, and the cycle, business cycle that you are in. You ask these questions around GovTech, you probably get a different answer than if you ask them around the end of the year, where there is a lot of pressure on procurement, particularly with respect to budgets. So we accept that there's still a lot of work challenges that we have to overcome with respect to our customer service, and that for example, to the extent that later on you'll see our turnaround times, we're still struggling there. To the extent on procurement, that is, to the extent that we are being called in different portfolio committees with a residual kind of complaint that we're addressing, one does not expect that one will see a doubling of customer perceptions about CETA services from at least from 2022. The data centers, the SLAs, yeah, that is still within track. We had achieved it by this time, and that is still within the annual target. We have been able to do more of what we're supposed to do. We've put the target of market share, for lack of a better phrase, so that we push ourselves to do more in respect to the original mandate of CETA, and that is in respect of operational services as opposed to chairperson procurement services. There was no specific quarter two target there, but we've since looked at that in the third quarter, and we know that we're on track. Similarly, in terms of retention of services, we are tracking, I think our target there was 90% retention, and we're tracking way above, certainly above 95% retention as we speak. Then data centers there, the intention was to do a number of interventions within the data center environment, for example, fortifying our electrical systems, and these were three data centers in the Gauteng area. Fortify our electrical systems, fortify our mechanical systems, and also our civils through a significant capital expenditure. But that was not the only thing that we were supposed to do. The intention, the annual target was so that we achieve 99.749% availability, both for planned and unplanned maintenance. And we have been tracking above that, notwithstanding that there were one or two tender processes that were late. There was other operational things that we built into or interventions that we built into our operations. So at the end of the year, M13 is also safe. On page 15, the intention there was to finalize. This is a massive intervention program there. The CETA IT systems are older than myself, some of them. The higher education systems, for example, that underpin the processing of metric, NATED, and NCB systems were developed in 1987 and 1989, respectively, on programming languages that were not even taught when a year later or 2 years later I was in varsity. They are very, very expensive, we know that. They are very inflexible, they don't have agility. And we are now undertaking a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity of re-changing the entire IT base of government for better agility again, better flexibility, and better cost-effectiveness. So this strategy, M40, represented a document or a roadmap for fundamental changes in the way we do our IT system. That has since been done. But we have not just stopped there with the document. We've actually now even implemented a cloud infrastructure, which is virtualization infrastructure, so that, for example, the entire space data, spatial data that has been collected by Sansa, is now being backed up on our, by the end of this financial year, on our cloud infrastructure. Almost all the enterprise productivity systems of Gauteng province are also going through, as well as moving the entire business enterprise and ERP systems of the Department of Labor. Again, would never have been able to do this thing with the kind of old systems there without this strategy. So yes, it was late, and then the second quarter, but not only have we done it in terms of paper, but we also implemented it. DR is done now, or the business case was approved, but we've done further, we've gone further more. The intention was to DR sites. There is one in Free State, Velcom, that is going to DR all the Free State systems based on a request from last year, and another one in Gauteng, both of them on cloud infrastructure. Then M16 was late, and it was off, and then it will still be off, and then M17 was off, is now on track. So is M18 is on track. We do have M18 was already on track, and it still continues to be on track. These are savings coming out of our purchases. M19, we said it was not achieved there, but the numbers show that it was achieved even at that point. The intention was 15% of spend on SMMEs. We're tracking about 20% as we speak. And M20, we have 16 SMMEs that are being trained on the big ticket items in IT and government, that is Microsoft, Oracle, HP, IBM, Cisco, that we're training them for certification, but we are also providing them with certified courses in business development work so that they can better respond to our procurement activities and also in general business management. So that is on track to be achieved. And then if I may just go to M24 and M25. M24, for a variety of reasons, we put less effort in it, and that can be explained later in the question time. So that will not be achieved. And M25, unfortunately, it will probably not be achieved, but that was as a result of the changes that we had in our HR environment. And the rest of them are quite safe. From a finance point of view, the CFO will take questions there as we're running a little bit out of time. By the end of the second quarter, we had, on page 23 there on our balance sheet, you'll see that the accounts receivable had increased. We had billed subs. Normally subs get billed a little bit later because we sign contracts late. But this time we signed them early, we billed them, but they had not yet paid. They have since paid. We also are in a new relationship with the Gauteng provincial government, and we took over all their Microsoft contracts, and there were teething problems there for, it was over 200 million rand of commitment from our side. And that number has since moved from 158 to about 41, and that 41 is pretty much only, most of it, 90% of it is only one department, the Department of Health. And that we have listed our top old debtors on page 24. And our income statement is on page 25. And I'd like to maybe draw attention to the committee on the two columns there, year-to-date September, by the time of the end of the Q2. We have projected that we'll be still running a loss of 31 million surplus before tax. But because of a number of interventions, including cost management primarily, we were running a deficit of 135 million. We've been able to maintain a surplus. We've been able to maintain that surplus, and we finished the year with a surplus of more than 100 million versus a loss last year of 300 million. And page 37 shows the areas of cost management. It is not just having made the organization to stop. Yes, we restricted hiring, but most of the most of the drivers for the lower cost was on lower service delivery cost on the cost of sale, and that was due to much better negotiated contracts on the big ticket items such as IBM Software AG, which consume most of the of our license and maintenance and support costs. Chairperson, we just draw attention to page 30, which shows our free cash flow. At the end of the quarter, we were minus 48. We have since brought it back down to minus 68 million, so showing performance similar to 2013. Unfortunately, we could not prevent all the irregular expenditures. By this time, we had recorded 10 million. That has since increased to about 13 million, but our intervention, which is in the form of the loss control committee, is now active, investigating and prosecuting people who are responsible for this act. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
Mathis.
Maybe
there's
Honorable Mohammed. Can we now get to Utasa?
But that just shows the movement in terms of the the movement from Kaizer Chiefs to Sundowns. Then the next slide shows the conversation that we had the last time we were here, where having regard to the annual report and all the challenges that we had inherited, you had spoke strongly on consequence management, and that slide shows the actions that we have taken in that regard affects a few of our team members, some of which have resigned, but even with resignation, there are processes that are following them in terms of criminal processes. So as such, there is work and investigations in that regard. The next slide just shows the actioning of the Auditor General's findings and the recommendations thereof. And you can see there that we have moved, except that some of the areas at quarter two were slow due to the lot of work that we needed to do in getting our facts in order to be able to move. But we have subsequently moved, and there are investigations taking place, and we have even went further to make submissions and commission around some of the challenges that related to compliance or non-compliance with the Competitions Act. Year to date, you will see that again we have improved in terms of addressing AG's concerns. The next slide speaks to that. CFO will speak to the finances, and then we'll come back to you.
Good morning to the Chair and the Honourable Members. The first slide in terms of the performance, draw your attention to the first column from your right, which shows our quarterly income performance of 20.346 million, playing the budget of 17.26, and the difference of 3 million is the interest earned on funds at the banks. On the bottom column, we just show the year-to-date performance for 6 months of the 40.63 million, playing the 34.5 million. Again, the positive variance is relating to funds, interest earned on funds at the bank of about 6 million. In terms of expenditure, I'm going to speak more to the quarter variance, as I think that gives more information to the committee. The quarter variance is that second column from the right. In terms of compensation of employees, we have a underspend of 739,000, and that is due to vacancies within the organization. In terms of goods and services, there is an overspend of 903,000, primarily driven by timing of certain expenses like payment of fees to the AG, as well as an overspend in terms of legal fees for that quarter. Depreciation of 698,000 rand, that's a non-cash item, not budgeted for. And other capex and overspend of 238,000 rand. Again, that is activities that was planned, again timing, activities planned in another quarter are taking place in this quarter. On the bottom half, we're showing the spend of funds that had been approved from the previous financial year, mainly in terms of the BDM, distribution and logistics, where in quarter two we had spent 28.2 million with SAFO. And then in the second slide here, we've got basically our year-to-date expenditure. So that's for quarter one and then quarter two. This slide here basically gives a graphical representation of what we have spent. I'll hand it back to the CEO to do the review.
Thanks, Jefferson. Again, with respect to USAF, the same analogy I made applies. As at quarter 2, we had not done well at all in all our three performance areas. But year to date, we can indicate that we have subsequently moved in respect of broadband rollout. We have moved quite significantly that we will be able to achieve our targets in that regard. You may have seen that we have even moved faster that some of the areas in the OR Tambo district are already accessing free Wi-Fi as a result of the fast speed of our movement in that regard. And with respect to the school connectivity, we are slow there, but we're planning to fast track the process and hopefully to present better results end of the financial year. The elephant in the room is a subject matter that is before the Constitutional Court today, and in that regard we hope subsequent to the ruling of the Constitutional Court that we'll be able to go back to the drawing board and strategize and fast track therefore delivery in that regard, because subsequent to today there will be no debate, there will just be a way forward. The next slide just basically details the reasons that I've already spoken to, and the next slide is the summary of how we performed in quarter two, as I've explained. This is just graphically, and the next slide is again that comparison that shows that cumulatively now in quarter three there is movement that largely is as a result of the broadband rollout movement that we've embarked on in the Eastern Cape. If we were to comfort you and say by possibly end of this financial year, we should see more green than red, even in respect of the funds. I'll now ask the CFO to speak to the numbers.
Thank you, CEO. In terms of the USAF quarter two budget performance, revenue for the quarter, income of 188.2 million against a budget of 162.57 million. There was a positive 25.6 million. Again, mostly all of it is the interest earned on funds at the bank. The bottom half speaks to just the year to date. I'll take you through the expenditure in terms of quarter two. In terms of variance, you will see broadband infrastructure, there's a, there was no spend of 9.6 million, but in quarter three, there will be movement in that regard. The STB subsidies for the BDM, for quarter two, it is 105.987 million overspend, and this is basically the increased spend, increased activities in terms of acquiring the STBs and dishes against the plan. That's what's driven it, the increase in activity, but it is funded through the year. The rapid deployment and connectivity, there was an underspend of 1.89 million, and there will be more spend in that in quarter three. We did experience where services were provided, but the service providers hadn't sent us valid invoices, which we have followed up to get. The 658,000 rand overspend in bank charges and audit fees is all mostly related to a timing in terms of when we actually paid the AG for the audit of USAF for the 2015-16 financial year. And then project costs, 519,000 rand overspent, relating again increase in activity to kickstart to initiate the project. And then again the year to date, now this is for quarter one and quarter two, and then the main number in there is basically the STD subsidies for BDF, the 150.5 million rand overspend, but again driven by the increase in the activities that were taking place in the first half of the financial year. The last slide is basically a graphical representation of what I've spoken to. Thank you.
Thanks. Just to complete the presentation by indicating that we have taken quite several actions in response to addressing the some of the areas that had been raised by this committee, by the AG, that relates to non-compliance by some of the service providers. Actions include termination of services that are affecting two of the companies. And in respect of the areas of dispute, which are areas that relate to claims in relation to exchange rate payments, those matters have subjected them to arbitration. And we hope to conclude those and be able to continue rolling in this, in respect of the broadcast digital migration project. And as I've indicated, the other matter is a subject matter of the Competition Commission that speaks to the challenges that may have included non-compliance with the Competition Act. The last one is in relation with some challenge that we have we are investigating in respect of the activities of one of the service providers that have led to us drawing in the services of the HOC to assist us in that regard. So in the nutshell, we are really trying to get our house back in order. There's movement in that regard, positive, including affecting those who have been involved in respect of causing some of the challenges. So we can say safely say to yourself that we are in control and trying to get the USASA and USAF house back in order. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. That's a good news. Can we come to the minister?
Chairperson. I'm Walter Klaassen. I'm chairperson of the board of NAMESA. You are aware of the fact that we had a new board since October. We also had a new CEO appointed and CFO appointed beginning of November. They are attending the meeting. It's the CEO, Ms. Mimuna Ismail, and Ms. Mimi Abdul as CFO. The reports will be presented by the acting CEO and acting CFO during the second quarter. Just one word in advance, we are an organization in transformation, in change, amalgamating three entities, moving to actually completely different set of roles, but the set of roles already developed and functions developed within the set of entities that are to be amalgamated. That means that we've already moved on extensively regarding the second quarter issues that we are reporting on, but we understand that this is the report about the second quarter. So the reports will then be presented by Mr. Peter Ramachwana, the acting CEO, and Ms. Rufunwa Legege, the acting CFO during the acting sorry.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Deputy Minister, and Honorable Members, I'm happy to present the quarter two report. I do want to indicate, Chairperson, that this particular quarter is characterized by both challenges and, of course, progress that we've been able to make under the circumstances. The Chairperson has made reference to the fact that we had the appointment of the board that was then finalized by the Minister at the end of August, and which was during this period under review. Secondly, we also, of course, had a situation in which we did not have our APP approved, and the APPO was only approved at the end of August. And the Chair must say that this has resulted in an impact in terms of delivery of our against our targets. I do also want to indicate that despite these challenges, we also want to note the fact that the task team that was established by our Minister and the Minister of Higher Education and Training had been able during this particular quarter to conclude on the business model in terms of INEC going forward. And that's one of the key achievements during the quarter. I do, Chair, want to indicate the fact that despite some of the challenges that I've highlighted, we have been fully aligned to the NDP goals and ensuring that we're aligned to the department priorities in delivering our programs. Even though our APP was not approved in the first quarter of the financial year, progress was being made. We've had a very good relationship with our colleagues, and good work has been carried on. Chair, in terms of the first slide, the second slide, obviously gives a sense of the four programs that we're focusing on, and I'm not gonna dwell much into that. I do want to indicate that overall, if you get a sense of our performance, we've not done very well in terms of program four in particular, but I think we'll provide the reasons why it has not been easy for us to can deliver against the set targets. I'm not also going to get into slide three because I think it talks about the appointment of the CEO and the CFO and in terms of us repositioning the institution to ensure that we deliver against the key mandate of the institution. When we get into performance, Chairperson, we have been able to achieve in quite a number of areas. In terms of ensuring that the data reports that are supposed to be provided to the department have been met in terms of the first program. And in terms of program two, multi-stakeholder collaboration, we do want to note and appreciate the assistance of the Honorable Deputy Minister in terms of our international partnerships. We have been able to be part and parcel of the Deputy Minister's delegation to U.S. At Hewlett Packard headquarters, and that particular visit has resulted in us taking forward the partnership with Hewlett Packard, and it looks quite good in terms of advancing the mandate of skilling the nation. Secondly, also through the initiative of the Office of the Deputy Minister, we're happy that we're able to engage with Nokia in terms of exploring possible partnerships for the institution. We are also quite happy, Chair, to report the fact that we have been able to get into great partnerships with SABC being one of our great partners in delivering programs in five of the nine provinces where we're delivering programs in the film and TV area. We're doing programs in KZN, Eastern Cape, Free State, Northwest, and Gauteng. We have also been able to, of course, enter into an agreement with one of the state entities in KZN, the Moses Kotane Institute, where we're also doing a delivery of programs. And lastly, we also saw ourselves being able to get into some partnership with National Film Publication Board. On slide, the next slide, Chairperson, as I've indicated, we have also seen our co-ops being able to come to the party and being able to assist us in doing more in terms of our responsibilities. And I think I'm going to also just skip the issue that relates to HP, as I've spoken to the Nokia. The slide that talks to program two, which is astuteness, I think it gives a sense of how we've done in terms of various programs that we're delivering. I will then be providing Chairperson more detail on the next slide. And if we look at it in terms of a number of illiteracy learners trained for the quarter under review, the target was 1,000 students, and we've been able to exceed that target by reaching 1096. And sector users as well, we've exceeded the target. The same applies to a number of ICT practitioners, as well as a number of e-leaders that we've been trained. And as I've indicated, we've had challenges, and one of our challenges has been around delivery of online programs. And the reason why we've not been able to deliver again this particular target was because of capacity challenges that we have as an institution, that we are happy to report that going forward in the third quarter, we have begun to deal with this issue and address it. And I'm happy to indicate that things have stabilized, we've strengthened this area, and we're confident that we should be able to do even far better in the third quarter. Thank you. One of the other major challenges, Chair, was the delay in the funding that had to be allocated to the institution, and that had a very negative effect on delivery of the program for 4 and 5 targets. And but we're happy that we've been able to look at how best we can ensure that we remedy this situation in the last 2 quarters, being quarter 3 and 4, to deal with the backlog that has resulted because of delay in funding. Chair, I do want to indicate that Program 4 clearly, as you can see on slides, the next slides, it shows that we have not achieved for the reasons I've outlined, but we do want to make a commitment to say we are still confident that before the end of the financial year, when we report, there will be a vast difference in terms of progress that we have made because of the remedial actions that we have taken upon ourselves to ensure that through our collapse, we're able to do more and to improve the situation. Chair, with your permission, if I could at this stage hand over to the CFO just to present the financial report.
Expenditure that was spent towards our project training
that we have with SABC and Moses Kotane, that was 3 million. Our overhead expenditure was 12.2 million. This then mainly is our staff cost and our rental cost. I will end it.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. In conclusion, Chairperson, we do want to indicate that we're quite happy and excited as an institution to now be stabilized through the appointment of the board, which is fully behind our activities and supporting us. And we're also quite excited to have the new CFO who have joined us, and we're beginning to see getting somewhere. I'm excited about it. I do want to indicate, Chairperson, that it's also a principal agreement between us and the CEO that all the questions hereafter will be directed to him. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Can we come to the center?
Honorable Chairperson, Deputy Minister, members of the committee, good morning. We're here to represent Centec, and we are led by the Chairman, Chairperson of the Board, Mr. Fatumero, and also accompanied by the Company Secretary, Mr. And with us also is the executive of HR, Ms. Giring Mutabi, and Itumele Kalwe, looking after strategy. Also, we have Mr. Monde, and Delin, who is the head of government relations. The presentation will be taken by myself and the CFO, who is our new kid on the block, and we're very grateful that he joined the organization in December last year. So the quarter that he's going to be presenting, he didn't see it happen, but he's responsible for it. Chairperson, we have a responsibility as Centec to make sure that the nation receives content both for television and radio. In terms of our presentation, we're going to touch mainly on the areas of our key performance, and we will confine ourselves to quarter two. We are aligning ourselves with the strategic goals of the shareholder, which is first of all to ensure high level of customer and stakeholder satisfaction by meeting the needs of our customers. So we are well aligned by setting up a strategic objective, which is to ensure that the average weighted availability of all our products, which is six products, will be at 99.8%, and that was achieved in quarter two. And secondly, we have a KPI that is improving customer and stakeholder satisfaction, and we have set ourselves for Q2 a target to complete the survey and recommendations, monitoring tools, and that was achieved in quarter two. And we also have set ourselves a target to make sure that we align ourselves to an objective, which is to drive organizational performance and to improve organizational effectiveness. And this we do by making sure that there's effective talent management within the organization. We have set ourselves this performance target for Q2 to make sure that all the reviews are completed by the end of the quarter. For that specific quarter, that target was not achieved. And this is the reasons are set out in the document, which are that we have some issues in Q2 that we are still busy with in relation to our labor movement, but those have subsequently been sorted out. In terms of improving our effective talent management, also we set up a KPI for Q2 to do 40% of the training that has been planned for the year, and we had achieved that by 41.4%, so the KPI has been achieved. Also moving to the area of ensuring that the company is financially sustainable by diversifying our revenue into different markets, which is our key strategic objective as an organization. We have set ourselves a target to complete by Q2 the market research for our Africa or Pan-Africa strategy, and that KPI was not achieved in Q2 but was subsequently achieved in Q3. We also have set ourselves a target to spend annually at least 6% of our net profit after tax, and we have set ourselves for Q2 a 50% target to achieve for enterprise and supply development, ESD and SED. We exceeded this target and therefore the KPI was achieved. We are on track, we believe, to achieve our ultimate target of keeping our books clean at the end of the financial year, but that is to be measured at the end of the year. We also set ourselves a target which speaks to the sustainability of our business. We set ourselves a key earnings before interest and tax, which is a measure of profitability. This was made with the assumption at the time that we shall not receive dual elimination costs. So we have set it at 5.2 million profit, and the Q2 we have achieved from operations 2 million profit. But because of the received dual elimination funding from the department, and we are very grateful to the department, Chairperson, we have exceeded our target and we're sitting at 17 million in that quarter. So that KPI was also achieved. I want to move to the financial presentation, Chairperson, and ask the CFO, Mr. Sikwamanda, Mr. Twaunyambo, to take us through.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson, members of the committee. Just overall, in terms of the financial performance for the second quarter, we were very much on track as entity. The CEO has mentioned now that when the corporate plan was done a year ago, the dual elimination funding was not factored in. That came through. So you will see that from a total revenue perspective, we are 20 million above. But that's not the only reason for that. But overall, from an EBIT perspective, EBIT is earnings before interest and tax, basically operating profit in some other definitions. So we were on track. The other reasons for this positive performance, on the cost side, our costs were very much well managed. We also benefited from the currency market. The rand-dollar exchange rate was much better than anticipated at the planning stage. We budgeted around $16 for that quarter, we're averaging around $14, about 14 rand to a dollar for that period. We're also managing our legal and consulting costs. We've cut that down quite significantly. Also, the legal costs, running a clean company, we have few matters that are taken on litigation and things like that. So that is basically the story for the second quarter. Although the figures are not there, I think I just want to give you a sense from a financial position perspective. By the end of September, we're sitting with total assets of about 1.9 billion, of which 980 million rand was cash. We had very minimal liabilities, about 152 million. So the net asset value of Sentech was just over 1.7 billion, which indicates a very healthy financial position of the company. So if we were to put Sentech in the market at that point in time, someone would have to pay us that much to get Sentech as an entity. Those are the quarter figures. Year to date, as of September, our operating profit or EBIT was about 46 million and our turnover about 623 million. The next slide does show the revenue line, the breakdown for each category of revenue. The only area, the main area that we're challenging is on the TV revenue due to the delay in the commercialization of the DTT network. But in terms of forward looking into the end of the financial year for going to March 2017, we should be very much at Sentech in line in terms of, or even better than what we budgeted for, what is sitting in the corporate plan. So that is just the summary of the financial performance. If I can just talk briefly about the internal audit, we've got a very strong internal audit within Sentech, which is part of the combined assurance framework. For the quarter, the internal audit completed all the audits. The three audit reports were issued, which were part of the normal audit plan. And there were two special audits that were ad hoc requests that were also completed. And throughout the up until now, the internal audit continues to do all the audits that are on schedule. And those audit findings are tabled in the audit committee. And we have seen a significant improvement in the addressing of those specific findings by the business. From the external audit, this talks to the Auditor General's findings. The report was issued in July 2016. Already by the end of September, 42% of those findings already been addressed, which is positive. By the end of December, already almost over 70% addressed those findings. The remaining findings relate to issues which can only be addressed at year-end, some of them, like the accuracy of the financial statements and all of that. And there are a few policies that just need to go through the board process for final approval. So we should be able to address all the external audit findings. Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, if I may just conclude by mentioning that on the governance front, we are on track with all the activities, and thanks to the activities of our board and the company secretary. As I said earlier on, we recruited our CFO, who just spoken to us right now. So we are on track in terms of making sure that we're compliant with the law and with all the PFMA requirements in terms of governance. Just moving on to the areas of risk as a business, we keep monitoring our risks as a business because we cannot assume that things will continue and be as business as usual. So we monitor our risk, all the emerging risks that are associated with our big customers. We keep monitoring them quite carefully, and we keep track of what's happening and make sure that we put together some possible risk mitigation. continue as a business moving forward. We have also presented to the committee what we're doing as a contribution to the small and medium enterprises. The aim here is to make sure that we bring on board smaller companies who will eventually grow into bigger companies and be participants in the ICT sector. And we have assisted companies who have created jobs to the amount of, to the number of around 68 in the last quarter two, starting from last year. So we are making some contribution towards enterprise development. From a human capital perspective, we have no worries. We keep also being challenged by the fact that some of our staff, because I think we train our people so well, that private sector does pinch them and we serve, but we do appreciate that somebody has to train them. But we have managed to keep them. The turnover of our staff is very low to date. So we are happy to present to you a situation from an HR perspective that the company is relatively stable. We have no issues that we can report that are worrying us from that perspective. And lastly, on the human capital side, we've taken a view that we need to do a skill development starting from our with our people. And therefore, we decided to put aside some cash to sponsor some of our employees to do studying. And by quarter two, we had concluded 35 bursaries from our own staff members to be able to upskill them in their areas of operation and also see if we can assist them into being the best that they can in their respective jobs. That is where we are, Chair President, and we thank you.
Thank you very much. And we have the last one. That's now.
You know what, you can ask if you can make a question.
Good morning, Chairperson, Deputy Chair and Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, and members in the House, and colleagues. I'm Gadural Fatani, the Chairperson of ZAPNA. With me, I've got the CEO, Mr. Mkhitani. I've got Mr. Mkhitani next to me. I've got Mr. Madhavu, that's and in introducing today's chair, I'm not going to be long. I'm going to hand over to the CEO, but before that, just to mention that today you'll see some few unachieved targets, but I've already told the CEO to say he must not say anything though we've achieved everything, because firstly, it's going to be outside the scope of today,
secondly is going to steal our thunder for the next reporting. But all what we have done is that we have achieved all those targets, but we report the status as it was by then. No, we're not going to put and say this one actually,
okay.
But yeah, that is the overall. And with those words, Chair, and thank you for the advice that we always receive from this committee. They are helping a lot, and we always go back and incorporate those advices, and they take us somewhere. We thank you. I hand over to the CEO.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chairperson, your committee. I'll present the report quickly. I know you have the documents printed before you on our quarter two performance. Right. There's a pie chart that shows our apparent performance towards achieving our target for quarter two. You see that the majority of us were achieved and the still substantial quarter was not achieved. But of course, it's a year in progress. And as the chairperson indicated, as we go get closer and closer towards the end of the year, that's when we ramp up in terms of our performance targets and we achieve them. We have several targets that are really just quotations of what the Act says that we must do. One being the administration and management of .za, our targets there being the monitoring function where we monitor the central registry, one of the entities under us. We receive reports from them, which we then check in terms of whether they comply with everything that we have with them in terms of performance and form. So that one was achieved. We had on the standardizing policy framework for the second level domains, the SLDs, like your CO.ZA and Gov.ZA. Our target was to do one for school.ZA, which is a second level domain for schools that we are changing so that schools can be able to register under them. We wanted to have a charter, which is the constitution of the second level domain release for public consultation. That was not achieved. That's partly because when you do this function, you have to respect the rights of the entities that hold and operate the second level domain. So they required extra time to do further internal consultation, and we did not publish the charter. So that was not achieved. Law.za. We had a charter that we're working with the Cape Law Society or the administrators of Law.za. We managed to get the charter out for public comment and get the feedback. There are still issues. So in terms of the target that was achieved, there are still issues, of course, that we're playing a mediator role between the law societies because there's interest also from others in terms of how Law.za is run. The pricing part of it as well. We have some pricing that is currently standing that is charged on a person, legal professional registers the name under Law.ZA that we review and came to the conclusion that it is in the short term we shouldn't change, so it remains there. That was achieved. There was a report that we wanted to do because we deal with domain name information and which we must publish a substantial part of it. And the important thing is that there are other legislative requirements such as POPI, the Protection of Personal Information. So we did some report and analysis internally of whether or not the current domain name registration services respect or adhere to that. That report was not completed in time, it's still work in progress, so it wasn't achieved. Strategy goal 2, which is complying with international best practice and domain name administration and management. Two targets there, the report on DNSSEC deployment. DNSSEC is a standard for signing and verifying and assuring trust that when you query the website name or domain name, the feedback that you get from the proper source, you're not led to a false website. We since then started rolling out this project last year. The report that we completed there was only the progress achieved to date. And then also the target that we achieved of monitoring our infrastructure, the domain name servers, to make sure that they perform according to what we require. We also did a benchmarking exercise. The scope for quarter two, the target was to finalize the scope, which we did, focusing on what is called the second level registration. And then we did on goal three, the registry reseller licensing, which was our target was to have approved proposed amendments to the laws, but that was not achieved during the quarter. It's something that is work in progress now because the department has set for next financial year to start amending the laws. on all four of the public and the registration guidelines. Real information that we post on our website and also cover in our awareness campaign that educate people about how domain name registration works. All those three types of guidelines there, we manage to achieve them. They're available on our website. We use them as well as some of our pamphlets that we distribute during our awareness campaign. The only one that was not achieved was on global domain name registrations. You know, just explaining to people that if you have an issue with a .com address, where do you go? What do you do? As much as it is not us who are responsible for .com. The target was not achieved, and it was really just a technicality that I had not signed off on it. We had to be honest enough to say it was not achieved, but the quota was since achieved in October. On goal 5, public awareness, we target among things was to have certain stakeholder briefings, two of them during the quarter which we had, and then we also had some events that we held in other provinces, two provinces, and we achieved those targets. Then we also wanted to implement our program, the target of our program, the registrar reseller training event in two provinces that was achieved in Northwest and Gauteng. It's important to point out that this project enables us to demystify, as it were, to your young SMEs, and especially your web developers, your guys in IT services, to explain to them what economic opportunities exist in the domain name registration value chain, both in ZA and elsewhere. And we are seeing interesting feedback from the attendants, and some of them go on to try to apply for accreditation as registrars once they get to understand the business opportunities that are there. We achieved that target. The one on ZA website presence, which we reported before, as our part of our awareness campaign, that is social responsibility centered, demonstrating the importance of using WA websites by sponsoring school websites. We had set to achieve 5 school websites during the quarter in 2 provinces, which we achieved in Mpumalanga and KZN. The one on research and surveys on goal 6, that was not achieved really. The target for the quarter was to have a research provider appointed. We set back on that. It's important to say that also at this point in time in quarter 2, it was only when we were finalizing the appointment of additional staff, and obviously a number of things had to be put on hold until that staff, those staff members were contracted. By the end of the quarter, we had made the appointments of the staff. They started to, they joined us some in October and others in November. So that report wasn't achieved, but work is going on now. The same thing with the CRO operating agreement, or AIM, it stands for operating agreement compliance. Where we want to conduct a detailed IT audit as well. That was not achieved for the quarter. And then the domain name registration info is really a routine target of making sure that we measure the number, the growth of the namespace, and that that report comes to our board and we analyze it. So that was achieved. 1.8, which is domain name policy recommendations. Our target was to hold our annual internet governance event, which we held in collaboration with the Internet Society Gauteng chapter and the and ISPA, the ISP Association, at the end of the 2016 in II week. We achieved that target. We also wanted to do a report there on looking at the gap analysis on the policy side. In the internet governance space, which was not achieved for the quarter, but it's work ongoing. It closes at the end of the year with a report on an annual, if you might want to put it that way, on internet governance. So it should be achieved by the end of the quarter. We participated in ICANN, which is one entity where we participate as operators of .za, and we have a report that we write and regulate or just capturing what is going on there in depth. Anything that we need to raise to our authorities and process, and then raise it through the type of the report. On evaluating the CTF effectiveness, we have again prepared some submissions which we have in place now, but we haven't submitted them to the department really because the legislative amendment process will start next year. On goal 10, which is the ZA alternative dispute resolution process, it's a process when people have disputes over the domain name. It's a process that started in 2007. I think to date we have close to 200, we have more than 200 decisions that have been made. Our targets there were really just to make sure that when we get a decision being made, we must publish it timely by targeting 24 hours. Within 24 hours, which we achieve, so the decisions are available on our website. And also the collection of fees once a decision has been made, there's a certain limited fee that is paid on to us to use for ADR financial assistance to those parties who may not afford those fees. So that was achieved. Is the one on 11, which is ensuring business sustainability, where you still have a substantial negative, if you go to the report, maybe the slide number is covered in detail, where there were a number of not achieved targets. And it's really the internal controls that we are working on. But when it comes to revenue collection and expenditure management, keeping it within the budget, we achieved that target. When it comes to the increase in the ZACR predominant fees, we did not achieve that target, not because we couldn't, but there is a dispute process that is going on between ZACR, which we hope to be resolved soon. Going to the next slide again, on internal controls and corporate governance, we had policies that we wanted to put in place. The ones that were not achieved was the access to information policy. It's now obviously close to being finalized. And by saying not achieved, it's not that these policies were not submitted to the board. They were submitted to the board, but some of them, the board felt that more work needed to be done. And as a result, they were returned to staff for additional work, so they were not achieved. The internal audit committee charter at the time was not achieved. We had just appointed an internal auditor, so it's something now that if you see quarter three, you realize that's been sorted out. On building human resource capacity, the engagement of the company secretary, we wanted to have the approved terms of engagement, but that was not achieved because the board had made a decision earlier on to say, let's put this in a bit of abeyance as much as the law requires us to have the company secretary. Let's make proper assessment as to the type of engagement we require. Mm-hmm. So the board is working on resolving that now, but at the end of that court, it had not been achieved. I know that in this particular slide, we did not include the financial information because it was really not going to come out nicely. But on your documents that you have at the end of the presentation, you have the income and expenditure statement of Vietnam. And you'll see from the income and expenditure statement that in terms of revenue that you collect from the central register, there's a substantial shortfall. For the quarter, we collected fine. If you look at the actual, this is the what is budgeted, you'll see that the shortfall. That comes really from the yet-to-be-resolved dispute over the fee increase. And once that is resolved, even that deficit will close because we'll be able to collect that money. But during the quarter, the collections went rather well. On the expenses side, there is a surplus that has accrued of 2.5 million. And that surplus is largely attributable to the fact that at that time, as I said, our new staff members had not yet joined us. We only started in the third quarter. And the ripple effect of that is that the number of projects that needed to be rolled out had not been rolled out and only started in quarter three. So if you look at that surplus there, you will realize by the end of the year that it will have substantially diminished. It's communications and awareness is where a substantial surplus is during the quarter. For the year, in fact, we budgeted 1.6 million. We had spent 174. Of course, that has drastically changed now. For external relations, it's important to point out was there's a substantial deficit there that is of 794,000. And it's really a matter of reporting it here, but the story behind it was that we had the Africa Internet Governance Forum that the department hosted, and we decided to become a sponsor of that event for the venue and associated costs. It was held in ICC, and the money really came from our surplus. But we are showing it here so that you know for reporting purposes, you can see what has happened. But really, that deficit shouldn't be there with the money that comes from the surplus. There are other areas here that I won't cover everything, but you will see some of legal and professional again is substantial saving. And it is already diminishing substantially. Meetings and events as well. Some of the budgeting that we have, all our directors to come to the charge of meeting parliamentary commitment. But then since last year, the parliament said, no, for these meetings will be requiring only the CEOs and the board chairs and treasurer. And that in itself has given substantial savings in that budget line item. On staff, there's also substantial saving because when we appointed staff members 4 or 5 months later, that means savings in salaries. So that's why you see a substantial saving there. There is to date probably 450,000 by the end of the quarter, but it's sort of substantially increased as well since then. In a nutshell, Chair, that will be all you can report on Vietnam. We are a growing entity. It's important that to bear that in mind. We are a growing entity. We have a number of people who have joined us. Our performance will keep on improving, especially as we come towards the end of the year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we're going to be mindful of time. We have other issues here. And we have someone after you. I think the lady's saying something about the achievement. It's done. Everything is good here. Okay, thank you very much. No consideration. Yeah, colleagues, I think we need to have a 5 minute break.
Fine.
It's so hot and the aircon is not working. I'm not sure of the entities here which one is dealing with maintenance here. So it's taking the accountable order.
It's like a bad day.
Lisa can help us.
Yeah. We'll just have a short break and come back, entertain discussions, questions, input, and comments. Thank you.
Give it to Peter.
No water. No one.
Thank you.
Thank you.